Hello and welcome. You're listening to the Evolvepreneur Secrets Show for entrepreneurs, and I'm your host, Brian Silverthorne. And my mission is always to help entrepreneurs make a difference in their business and to navigate the messy worlds of startup growth and pivoting. And I'm going to dig deep today with our special guest to get you the best concepts and strategies to fast track your business. And our special guest today is Dana Miranda, and Dana is a certified educator in personal finance. So I'm going to let her dig deeper into the description of her business. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Brian. Thanks for having me. Really happy to be here. I can tell you a little bit more about what I do. I am the founder of Healthy Rich, which is a platform for inclusive and budget-free financial education. So the main work that we do, I'm just getting started and pre-revenue with the business. But the main work that we do is personal finance classes that take a more inclusive perspective than a lot of what I see in the personal finance space. If you go to our site now, you see mainly content. We on the platform through our blog and podcast, we're sharing stories from people whose voices we don't hear often enough in personal finance media.
Okay, great. So the way that you plan on growing your business is to get people that are interested in what you have to offer to sign up for your classes. Is that it? And then do you do individual coaching or anything beyond that as well?
No individual coaching. Right now, the revenue plan is focused on classes. So we'll start rolling those out in a month or two here. So the first class is going to be launching. And we've just been spending the last year kind of building and connecting with the audience through content on these various platforms and giving some of these writers a voice in a space okay. where they don't often have it.
Great. Well, what's your vision for the business, in the next 12 months or maybe mm-hmm. a couple of years down the road?
In the next 12 months, for sure, we're going to remain focused on selling the classes. So I'm launching with one on how to start freelancing this fall. And then I will roll out additional classes every kind of couple of months. We'll see how the cadence goes, what the audience is looking for after that first one. But in the kind of short-term plan, that's what we'll be focusing on, is developing these classes and presenting them and selling them and getting feedback from the audience and seeing what is working and what isn't, what needs to change. And we'll probably continue to focus on that for the next couple of years, but we'll see what the audience and customers are looking for and find different ways to serve people in the space.
Okay, so these are going to be like online self-paced classes, that sort of thing?
Or are they both self-paced and also live classes because I like presenting live kind of webinar style. I like connecting with people that way. So we're doing both so that people can access the class in whatever way, fits best for them and their schedule.
Yeah, there's a big benefit as far as I'm concerned to the back and forth, so you can interact.
Yes. Absolutely.
Face-to-face or through technology. It really doesn't matter.
Especially as this is a new product. So it'll give me a chance to see in real time how people are reacting, what kinds of questions they have, what kind of information I might be missing, those kinds of things. So it gives me an opportunity right away to get some feedback from the audience.
Good, good. So do you see any major roadblocks in the way of that you'll have to run around or jump over to get to where you want to go in the next 12 months?
Probably a lot. As a first-time founder, I definitely anticipate a lot of challenges. I think for me, audience building is always the biggest challenge. I love connecting with people individually and do a great job of that. And I also see our community connecting with each other, which I think is fantastic. But I do know that this structure for a business definitely requires some amount of scale. Like I mentioned, I'm not doing one-on-one coaching, so I'm not going to be charging those premium prices for guidance. So I'm going to require some amount of scale to get a lot of people to sign up for these classes. So I do know that I need to build the audience beyond where I have it now. The way that I'm going to be addressing that challenge in the short term is reaching out into my network. I know a lot of people in the freelance writing space, entrepreneurship, and in the personal finance space who have audiences of their own. So I'm going to reach out to connect with them and sell through affiliate sales, do some shared marketing, newsletter swaps, those kinds of things to kind of share audiences with people who have existing audiences and hopefully build that way. Probably in the future, there'll be some paid media and ads as well, but I'm going to start with kind of those more engaged audiences that are already following some brands that they like.
So, collaborating with other sources that may have a similar audience, something like
Yes.
that.
Yeah, there are a lot of us in this space teaching how to earn money, how to manage money, and various things in the personal finance and entrepreneurship space, in all of our different ways. And there's tons of opportunity for us to work together, for audiences to cross over. And yeah, so I'm looking forward to opportunities to collaborate in that way.
Great, great. So I noticed you have a podcast now. Are you using that as a audience builder as well?
Yes, absolutely. And also a great way to connect with other people in the space too. I like it in both ways. It's a great way, like this conversation, to have conversations, like really meaningful conversations with new people, and also then to reach the guest audience, and also to give some more information or a story or insight to my existing audience, and hopefully be discovered, on podcast platforms and things too.
Right. Well, I know you're early on, but what's working for you best right now to build your audience?
Email, in for a long time, email has been my best platform. And I think a big part of that is just that as a writer, it's the medium that kind of makes sense for me. Social media has never really been great for me, although I know it works really well for a lot of people. There are a ton of great social media influencers in the personal finance space that are able to build audiences around these conversations. But the pace and the context and the style of those platforms don't tend to work for me as well. So I like to communicate with people through email. And so I think that because I enjoy creating that content more, it resonates more with our audience and people are more willing to share it. We do have a Healthy Rich email list, and I also have a Substack where that is more personal, where I'm sharing my own journey of making this transition from freelance writer to founder as I grow the company and talking about what I learned as I grow the company. And I found Substack to be a really good platform for growing an email newsletter, in addition to it being free and also just kind of being easy to use. If you're concerned about the technology of blogging or starting a newsletter, it's a really easy one to get started. I have noticed the growth on the list has been pretty good on the Substack platform too. I think there's a lot of discoverability happening, and Substack makes it really easy to share emails and encourages readers to share too. So there's kind of some growth built in there.
Yeah. Oh, well, you've got a lot of things going. Have you ever considered, because some of the people I've worked with use surveys as a way to attract new folks. Is that something you've ever thought about or?
I did early on like a quiz as a lead magnet. Is that what you mean? Like kind of something that'll to
It could,
collect
yeah, could be
emails.
something like
Yeah.
that. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a great way to attract people so you can give them kind of something of value right away. Give them some information, get people involved, engaged right away with the things that you've created. Engaged with like your ideas, because you can really kind of fit a lot into a quiz. So I did sort of a money personality quiz early on and saw a little bit of success with that, but it started to kind of stray just from the stance that I was taking in personal finance. So that still exists, but I've kind of set it aside as like my main lead magnet. And I really just collect emails through our content. So I focus on promoting the podcast episodes and promoting the blog posts, and then all of those have a call to action to sign up for the email list so that people who enjoyed the content and want to continue to engage with it and see more are opting in, so they're highly engaged.
Yeah, it's the looking for ways to attract an audience or to get more potential opportunities, that sort of thing. It all boils down to volume. Everybody I've ever worked with in the past 25, 30 years, entrepreneurs, business owners, regardless of the industry and regardless of the size of the business, they've always wanted more opportunities because conversations lead to relationships and relationships need to business. So, you know, we've helped a few people that with integration that have, you know, that you take a survey and the result leads you to an email marketing campaign. It could lead you to an automated guesting program for your podcast. It could take you to a series of courses or, you know, whatever it happens to be. So it's kind of
Okay.
a
Yeah, so
drop.
it can kind of guide
Yeah,
someone from the
so you know,
audience
we
deeper
help
into
them,
your funnel.
and it's we were able to do it and get them all on one platform, so they had total control and didn't have to go hither and yon to make things work, and everything was automatically integrated. So it turned out to be, you know, have gotten some great results for people that way.
Yeah, that's smart. As I grow, I'll probably need more ways to kind of funnel people into the content and products that are the right fit. But right now we're keeping it really simple. So we just have a couple of we just have the podcast and blog as a couple of pieces of content. The email promotes those things. And then through the website and email, we just are going to funnel people into a single class and then, you know, eventually a couple more classes. So the platform is really simple right now. But yeah, I can imagine as we grow that we're going to need those opportunities to help people find the right way to engage with the information.
Right. So have you got anything like every new business owner or existing business owner right now that keeps you up at night?
It's something that worries me.
Yeah.
It changes day to day. It depends on what I'm working on. I kind of, you know, I'll zoom in and out. So right now I'm really deep into creating the content for these courses and thinking about the process. So a lot of what'll be running through my head when I'm trying to get to sleep is just kind of the funnel. I use Kajabi as a platform for the blog and everything on our website, email, and we'll use that to host classes too. So I'm thinking through the whole kind of all the pieces that I'll have to put together on the back end to make sure that we're delivering the course to people in a way that makes sense and make sure that we don't have any technical difficulties. So that ends up, I'm handling that all on my own right now. And Kajabi makes it fairly easy, but there's just a lot of steps that you always have to remember. And so as I'm thinking about what the experience will be that people are buying, that tends to kind of run in circles through my head.
Yeah, well, there's always something.
Yep.
You know, I think what you're doing is a great concept, and obviously it's much needed. Did you
Thank
do
you.
any market research to give you any indication of how readily acceptable this particular format might be to the audience that you want to reach?
Very little formally. I do have about 7 years of experience in the personal finance space. So a lot of my, you know, quote unquote market research was just working in the space and interacting with audiences on various other personal finance platforms and kind of seeing what was missing. And also just because money is this like pervasive thing that lives in your life day to day, is also just experiencing knowing like the kinds of personal finance advice we were creating in personal finance media and seeing the holes in that for like the people that I was actually interacting with day to day. But as I started to build Healthy Rich and conceive of the brand and figure out what direction I wanted to go with the business, I did talk to a couple of people who, you know, as kind of like customer avatars to get an idea of the kinds of questions they have about their money, the kinds of concerns, the same kind of thing you asked, like what keeps you up at night about your money and how can I help to assuage those concerns? And also what kinds of products they might like, what kinds of people in the space they follow and why. So it was just some individual conversations that people were kind enough to have with me to talk through kind of what this business might look like.
Well, that's great. But it also sounds like your business model through your live courses and allowing your community to chit chat back and forth, you're going to get some good directional feedback as you go to help you figure out how to grow, I would imagine.
Yes. Yeah. And I, maybe to my detriment, like the detriment of my time a little bit, I'm always willing to have those one-on-one conversations, to respond to people one-on-one through email, because I just enjoy them and learn a little bit every time, kind of get a new perspective every time I talk to someone. So I do always appreciate that. So I think I'll keep doing that and just keep it kind of baked into the way that the business runs. I know that there is a little bit of a drawback to limiting market research to something like that and not having like a bigger sample size, basically, to get more information, because you never know, like one individual's opinions about something might not be representative of everyone else who's taking the class, and you're just not hearing from everyone else. But just getting those perspectives that are different from my own are always really helpful.
Yeah. Yeah. As long as they're offered in the right spirit and, you know, can be useful to help you, to help you move ahead. So yes. I know you're early on in this, but you've had 7 years in the financial business. So if somebody was coming you to one of your classes, either self-paced or live, you know, what's the best piece of advice you could give somebody initially in the process
for their finances? It's all, you know, it's really individual. Like I'm not a financial advisor or coach. I'm not doing that individually. So the most of what I'm doing is offering information to help people understand their options and how our financial systems work. That was really valuable to me as I got into the personal finance space, was just to untangle things like credit scores and loans and mortgages and debt payoff, because all of that is really kind of opaque and confusing for a lot of people. So just getting that information can be really empowering to help you make decisions in your life. The main piece of advice probably that carries through any of the work that I do is to pull away from what I call budget culture, which is a focus on budgeting specifically, but then also a mindset around budgeting that encourages restriction and deprivation with your money rather than freedom and happiness and joy using your money to enjoy your life. I would watch out for any advice that is recommending restrictive budgets or telling you any way that you should be using your money, and instead kind of get in tune with what makes sense for you and what feels right for you.
I like that. Yeah, there's a lot of people that, are you on a budget? Is it tight enough? Are you spending money where you shouldn't? And who decides whether you should or you shouldn't?
Exactly.
I think it was on your LinkedIn profile. I saw you. Yeah, I think it was your banner. Correct me if I'm wrong, but avocado toast never caused anybody to go bankrupt or something like that.
Yeah. No one goes broke from avocado toast.
That's it. No one goes broke. That's an excellent, that should be a bumper sticker somewhere. I really like that.
Yeah. Thank you. It's a good reminder that we came up with early on in kind of putting the brand together, that there are much bigger financial forces at work that we need to understand before we can just start to recommend certain kinds of budgets or restriction to people, or tell people, like you said, the ways they should or should not be using their money.
Yeah.
That's not what's hurting you financially necessarily.
Excellent. Yeah, I like that approach to things. It may even require more discipline than having a budget. I'm not certain, but you know, if I noodle it here, but still, it's discipline in a good way. So we're getting toward the end here. Any final thoughts for our audience, and can let people know how they can reach you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. So you can learn more about Healthy Rich. Our hub online is just our website, healthyrich.co. And there you can sign up for the email list, find the podcast, read our blog. And once they're launched, our classes will be there. So you can kind of connect on any platform or medium that makes sense for you. We're trying to reach people where they are. And then you can also follow my Substack, where I am, like I said, sharing my journey from my work as a freelance writer to being a founder and starting this company, and all of the financial stuff that goes along with that as well. And that is at notesnewsletter.substack.com. It's called Founder Notes.
Great. I really appreciate that. I thank you for taking the time. So this ends this episode of the Evolvepreneur Secret Show for Entrepreneurs. And our guest, Dane Miranda, has given us some great insight as a startup entrepreneur and into the field of the financial field in which she is going to be involved and offering education to her followers, her audience that seeks her out for information and help. So if you like this, please share it with others, subscribe if you will, and tune in to our other podcasts as they come up. And Dana, thanks again for being with us.
Thanks for having me, Brian.